By the way, just so you know, we're going to have a sermon on this same topic a week from Sunday.
Great. On purity. So as you know, Oscar's been taking us through the book of 1 Timothy. It's been great stuff, correct?
Great stuff.
Oh no. Here we go.
Was it named after Timothy Sparks?
No.
I think the other way around.
Who knows what Timothy the, what'd you call him? The pastor? Timothy the evangelist? Timothy
the evangelist, yeah.
Biblical character.
Who knows what his, like, legal name was? Timothy the Elder. I'm sure he became an elder eventually. All right. Wow. I feel so official. I've got the recording on me. Great. There's a lot of wind in Merced.
A lot of hot air.
This is very funny.
Especially over there at the university.
Okay, so as we know, Oscar's been taking us through the book of 1 Timothy. It's been great stuff. And I'd like to take us back to look at a scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. If you have your Bible, please turn there. Many of my brothers would have told me in the church, like, you left your house without your sword. You're in the battle without your sword. What you doing? Keep your Bible on you, brother. Yes, keep the strap on you. So, it says, but for some of these scriptures, I have it on the screen anyways. 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, and in purity. Right? So, Paul, among other things, instructed Timothy to be a living example of purity. And I believe that that command, that exhortation extends to us as well today. Right? So, in our church and in the greater Christian sphere, there's a lot of talk about purity, staying pure. This is not a Bible talk, but I'd like to open the floor up for a question. What is purity? If you could define it in your own words, what is purity?
Maybe keeping yourself, like, you know, clean, you know, making sure you're not, I guess, getting into the wrong things.
Okay.
Stuff that might get you in trouble, or stuff that is, like, feels like you're getting in trouble with, like, your friends or family.
Okay. Staying out of trouble, keeping yourself clean. I like that. Anybody else? Any other thoughts? Kevin?
When I think of purity, I think of being childlike.
Mm.
It's like your thoughts are essentially childlike, where you don't think about things that, you know, may benefit you in the sense of, like, pleasure, stuff like that. But more so, with, like, you just, I guess, yeah, you don't really see things.
There's a word for what you're just trying to describe. But I like that. Being childlike, having that demeanor. John.
Well, I'm a chemist.
Yes.
And there's the entire field of chemistry of purification. And something is pure if it's made of only one thing.
Yeah.
So to be pure is to be godly, is to be without the corruption of sin.
Mm.
It means to be single-minded. Not mixed with worldly things.
Love it. Maybe one more answer, if any. Manny.
I was thinking along the line of gold.
Okay.
You know, the more free of garbage that
yes.
it is, the more valuable it is. And that could go hand in hand with, you know, how I could be, you know, if I'm fighting a good fight, you know, hopefully it'll be more. I could see myself. Trying to remain in the fight so I could be a good aroma for God.
Mm, yeah. Kind of bouncing back to what we were talking about last week, or actually yesterday. So, purity. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, which I think gives an interesting way to look at purity, or helps define what purity is. 2 Peter. But those were all great definitions, great answers. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Yeah. John speed reading it. He's cheating it. No, just kidding. So it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. I looked up a more dictionary definition. Purity, freedom from spiritual or moral defilement, innocence or chastity. I thought that was a great definition. Reflecting on the scripture from 2 Peter, purity would be freedom from corruption caused by evil desires, or caused by the world. Kevin, you were kind of harping on innocence. That was the word that you were searching for, being childlike. Jaime was talking about being free from spiritual or moral defilement. And John and Manny both touching on kind of the chemical purity, being of one mind. I like that a lot. So I'd like to break kind of purity into maybe three forms, right? Between us men, we often focus so much on sexual purity, right? As we should. I think men were just inherently sexual creatures, very like physical. But there's other forms of purity that we might ignore or kind of like overlook. So as you see on the screen, we've got purity of heart, purity of speech, and bodily or sexual purity. So let's look at what the scriptures say about each of these kind of domains of purity. So what does it mean to be pure of heart? I'm going to pick three people for each of these scriptures. So John, can you go to Psalms 24, verse 3 to 6? Aaron, can you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 to 8? And Mr. Kevin, can you please turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 to 10? And in that order, we're going to read them. So for the rest of you, we're going to go to Psalms chapter 24.
Okay, I'm reading Psalm 24,
yes,
verses 3 through 6. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face, God of Jacob.
Great. I'm going to expound on these later, but let's keep reading. So the next one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Aaron, give us some time to turn there.
It's in the five T's.
Yes, it is. The letter to the church of Thessalonica. All right. Read Aaron.
But though we have already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had a boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made commands as apostles of Christ. But we are gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own child. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us.
Amen. Is that the New American Standard Version?
ESV.
Oh, it's ESV. The Elect Standard Version? That's a joke. I'm joking. But cool, very cool. And then, Kevin, can you take us to Colossians chapter 3, please? Almost. I think now we're ready.
But now you must put them all away. Anger, fury, malice, slander, and obscene language out of your mouths. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its creator.
Great. Okay. So, look at that. What does it mean to be pure of heart? Looking at Psalms 24, it's someone who is pure is someone who seeks God, right? They are looking for God. They want to please God, right? That's pure. Also, as we saw with in 1 Thessalonians, the apostles showed themselves to be pure of heart. They said, hey, we didn't put on any false face. We didn't bring any facade towards you. We weren't trying to manipulate you or lie to you, but we were presenting the gospel to you sincerely. And then furthermore, in Colossians, they had genuine affection for those that they taught in the church, describing them even as a mother cares for her child. Wow, that's pure love right there. So, to be pure means you have innocent intentions. You're not trying to manipulate people, you're not seeking selfish gain, you're honest, I'm just gonna, you know, to be honest, to be kind, to have goodwill, to have joy, love, and charity. So, in a nutshell, being pure of heart is to be sincere. You want to be genuine and truthful. But also, we need to be wary of the inverse. Not to say anything of anyone in this group, but it's very easy for us to maybe have like other intentions when doing good towards other people, right? I'm only helping you because, you may reward me after this. Or, I can get in good with you. I'm only doing these things because I'm gonna look good in your eyes. But, as it's written from the apostles, it's like, no, we need to have one mind, right? To actually wish good upon people. So, we're gonna continue. So, talking about pure speech. Let's go to Ephesians 4:29. This is my memory verse that I've happily been memorizing and reciting to people. I think for our younger Christians, this is a domain that we can kind of struggle with. Not to like be accusatory, but people I know offhand, I'm like, yeah, this person deals with that, that person deals with that. They haven't mastered their tongue. So, Manny, can you read Ephesians 4:29 for us?
Not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those.
Great. Okay. Continuing. Tim's out. I don't think I should call on him. But, hey, buddy. You all
right?
Jaime, can you read Ephesians 5, verse 3 to 6?
Yeah. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, this and inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient.
Okay, very serious. For me, just being honest, still engage in coarse joking and foolish talk, something that I struggle with, you know. Start getting into a little bit of banter, some of my friends, and it's just like, boop, comes out. It's just like, just slips out of my mouth. So easily do these thoughts form in my mind. But that's not, that's out of place for God's people. It's continuing on in James chapter 1, verse 27. I'm sure you guys know this one. Tim, would you be able to read that for us? James chapter 1. Verse 27. Or 26 to 27, actually. You got it.
Those who consider themselves religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Okay. This is very challenging. So many people that I know, that I've met, who claim to be Christians, it's like their entire religion is invalidated by this verse, by their lack of control over their tongues. It's not fitting for us to be speaking profanity, swearing, cursing. That's pollution. You're polluting your mouth. So, pretty straightforward. I think these scriptures are very practical, very straightforward. It's not like, oh, what does this mean? No unwholesome talk, okay? Only uplifting, edifying things should be said, right? That's what the scriptures say. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is good for building others up according to their needs, so they may benefit those who listen. So when you speak, does it benefit those who listen? It's like, wow, that's extremely challenging, right? But this is our metric. This is our measure. Jesus. No coarse joking, no put downs, roasts, zingers. I think in our group now, we kind of don't do that. I don't know. I'm looking at each other. Yeah.
There's always the tendency to kind of go too far,
like jokes and stuff. People.
A little bit, like, yeah.
Teasing each other is just part of
seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
But,
so, let's speak as if we're speaking for Jesus. Because remember, as we learned last night, we are ambassadors. We are a letter from Christ. So what words are you putting on yourself? Continuing on. Getting to a little bit of the nitty-gritty. Sexual purity. I'm going to go to Colossians 3, 1 to 7. John, can you read that for us, please?
Colossians 3, 1 through 7.
Yep.
Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, what therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. I'll do this first. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these.
Right on. Okay. So, I actually remember hearing this point at a conference. We need to remember that since we have, for those of us who are in Christ, who have been baptized, we've put our old self to death. But for many of us, right, these sins continue to live in our lives. But we have to remember, hey, I put that old Zane to death, right? I put that old Jaime to death. I shouldn't even say Jaime, but they need to be put to death. We need to cut them out. They need to be done. Just wanted to point that out. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 to 27. Tim, can you... Actually, you know what? I'll read this one. Romans chapter... But Tim, can you read 1 Corinthians 6 for us next? Okay. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 1. Here we go. Therefore, God gave them over in sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men who abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind. So that they do what ought not to be done. Yeah. I feel like I could continue, but anyways, we're focusing on sexuality here. So, this may or may not come to shock to you, but these things described do not honor God. Same-sex relations, it's a sin. I feel like now we're kind of afraid to talk about this. But what does the scripture say? Of course, to those who struggle with same-sex attraction, we offer grace, offer mercy. There are friends, there are brothers, there are sisters, there have been people who have been in this church, and some people who are still in this church, who battle with same-sex attraction. What matters is obedience and holiness. Let's continue. Oh, wait. Whoops. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Tim, let's turn there.
you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies.
Okay. So, I'm going to turn to the next slide. To be sexually pure is to honor God with your body. I love this verse, and it's so convicting. It's like, after I've been struggling with, you know, looking at pornography or masturbating, it's like, no, Zane, you've been bought at a price. Right? Aaron, you've been bought at a price. Manny, you've been bought at a price. Tim, you were bought at a price. The blood of Christ was shed for you. So these things are indeed sins. Fornication, right? Just sex outside of marriage. If you have sex with somebody and you're not married to that woman, that's sin, right? If you have sexual relations with another man or another person of the same sex, that's a sin. There are some other sins that I don't really want to talk about, but I feel like you could go to Leviticus and see that those things are sins. Having sexual relations with a non-human, that's a sin. With a child, that is an abhorrent sin. Masturbation, that is also a sin. You're not honoring your body as God wanted you to honor it. I feel like I'm having like the birds and the bees talk. Obviously, God has designed our bodies as men to have sex with a female partner, with your wife, for the purpose of producing children, right? That's the model. One sperm, one egg creates a child, a beautiful miracle, right? So, anything that veers away from that model does not honor God. Now, that also opens a whole can of worms of like, oh, well, what about a man and his wife who cannot have kids? Well, they're married. It's like one man, one woman. Good, great. So in terms, going back to lust, thoughts can lead to action. We need to protect our minds. In this time period that we're in, with the kinds of media that we're exposed to, I want to say, like, on the TV, no one watches TV anymore. Well, people do. But...
Hey, old people.
Yeah. You know, through television, through the internet, through ads, it's an extremely sexualized atmosphere that we're in. Because sex sells. Or did sell. And then now it's just like, well, we've become kind of desensitized to it. But I feel like as Christians, we should perhaps work towards regaining that sensitivity. So we need to get rid of the lustful thoughts in our minds. One thing that I do, if you're looking for practicals, is, is a thought comes to my mind that I may not want, and I literally, I do this. I envision it like a projector screen, like being folded upwards. And I'm like, nope. Whoop! Out of my head. Or I'll even like do a small prayer. Be like, God, I lift this thought up to you. I don't want it. I don't want it in my head. Of course, you may ask like, well, is it a sin to have those thoughts at all? Like, I'm just so sinful. I'm just having all these thoughts all the time. Right? Maybe. I think it's definitely a sin to allow those thoughts to reign and run around in your mind freely. Right? Jesus says, whoever looks at a woman lustfully, right? It's not a sin to look at a woman. However, you begin to fantasize, you begin to really, like, look harder. That's sin, obviously. So we need to be careful on the internet. We need to be careful watching TV. Going back to the point of being desensitized, I noticed that we can kind of like tease ourselves a little bit. We can kind of like see how far we can get to the edge. Like, oh, well, I'm not watching pornography. I'm just watching bikini volleyball or something like that. Or I'm not watching pornography, I'm watching, you know, women doing yoga. It's like, no, you need to get as far away from that as possible. You know, it's such a silly game. Be like, how far can I put my hand to the fire and not get burned? No, just stay away from that.
Amen, bro. Appreciate yeah. it.
So, how can we become pure? We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 13.
Chapter 1, actually.
Holy moly, I've been talking for 30 minutes. I feel like I looked down and it was like 4 minutes. And then I'm like, oh shoot, I've got...
You got a good 10 minutes to go.
Good, 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 good. Great. Yeah.
You're good. No, you're not.
None is good but the Lord, brother. Okay, so 1 Peter 13. So therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. This idea of purity overlaps a lot with holiness. Right? Wait a minute. I feel like... Oh, yeah. Yeah, never mind. So, we're actually going to look at that scripture. You know what? That's what I'm missing. My script. I didn't print it out, but it's over here. So... Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, we're cool. So you need to remember who you are as a Christian. Remember who you are, who God says you are. One, there's so many titles we can apply as we look through the scriptures, and I'm glad that we talked about some of this on Tuesday, that you're an ambassador, you're a minister. In 1 Peter elsewhere, it says you're a priest. You're part of God's holy nation. You're a special possession. If you are God's special possession, why are you going to choose to abuse yourself and exploit yourself? Right? You have to remember the Lord Jesus. If you really spend time like visualizing God and acting as if you're like, would I do this if Jesus was right in front of me? I think you would change your behavior. And you would start doing many different things. But also, we need to remember who we used to be. And that's who we used to be. Or that should be who you used to be. But some of these sins, we carry with us. We're still doing them, right? Me, admittedly, yes. It applies to me as well. I'm not being a hypocrite here. You need to hear the calling. When we are not pure, not even just sexually pure. When we're allowing our hearts to be polluted, you are not well equipped as a minister, right? If you are not cultivating joy and kindness and peace and goodwill in your heart, why would you care about the lost? Why would you care about, you know, those who are seeking God? So you must obey the truth. This is how we purify ourselves, through obedience. You're not going to become pure if you're not following God. So, another point that we want to talk about, Oscar made it very clear that we need to talk about this, and I think he's right. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. We're going to talk about, hey, this is some of our guidelines in our church, for those of you who may be new, that we follow. Regarding the interactions that we have between men and women. So, for some of these things that we do, they're not described in the Bible, but we believe that they're just generally the best practices to have. So, John, can you read that for us? 1 Timothy chapter 5.
I sure can.
Amazing.
Okay. Almost everybody's there. Aye. Do not rebuke an older man harshly. Remember that, guys.
That's real, though. Oh, John.
But exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity.
Absolute purity.
100%.
I've emboldened that on purpose. So, some things that we do here in the Merced Christian Church and also our associated Churches of Christ. We practice side hugs. You might have noticed that. Jan will tell you, hey, we want to be pure, right? When you go to hug a sister, don't go for the full frontal hug, okay? Go for the side hug. It's gentle. We don't want to be like smushing ourselves together like an Oreo, okay? Side hug. Another guideline. I follow this. Do not message a sister after bedtime. What is bedtime, you may ask, Zane? I will firmly say, hey, after 10 o'clock, it can wait, bro. It can really wait. Doesn't matter what medium you're using. Email, Instagram, text. I don't care. Don't send it after 10 o'clock. Manny, you get an exception. You're married. You know what I'm saying? Talk to your wife as long as you want, bro. Do not, I wrote here on the slide, it's not advisable, but I'm telling you here, do not be in the same room as a sister alone, okay?
Or as a not-sister who's female.
Yeah, that's just a general great life advice. Mm-hmm. Don't go in a girl's room. Don't be in the house with her alone. Hey, I'm going to be alone, da-da-da-da-da, my parents are here. Don't go, man. It's a trap. If you have romantic interest in a sister, ask for some advice, okay? Don't go in guns a-blazing. I love you, sister! Here's the flowers, whatever! Don't do that, okay? What if it goes wrong, right? I don't want to be a downer, right? What if it goes wrong? What if she doesn't feel the same way? Then you just got your heart broken, bro. Wow, now you look like a dummy. I mean, honestly, you're bold, but then also, hey, what if there's just stuff going on that you don't know about, right? We want to enter this sort of thing strategically. Oh, shoot. And with grace. And by grace, I mean like tact and skill. Okay? We want to guard each other's hearts. We're going to actually look at that. That's in Proverbs. It says, guard your heart, for all you do flows from it. So let's look at that. Guard your heart. Boo, 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 boo. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. For those of you who want to turn there. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It's a piece of advice that I've been given many, 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 many times throughout my youth. Okay? I don't know if you know. I've been in this church for a long time. Okay? So, yes, if you have a romantic interest in somebody, talk to your discipleship partner. Maybe talk to her discipleship partner. Kind of get a read for the room. Because as we know, the scriptures also say we do not want to be unequally yoked. Right? So, that advice is also for unbelievers. Do not get into a romantic relationship with someone who is not a Christian. It's also not advisable for you to get into a relationship with someone who is not strong in the faith. Right? We need to maybe investigate a little bit. Be like, hey, how have your quiet times been? Have you been reading your Bible? Do you have any dreams for the kingdom? Do you, whatever, right? it is a very pitiable thing to enter a relationship and then realize later down the road, oh, wait, we actually want different things. So then you're asking, well, how am I supposed to get to know somebody if I want to get to know somebody? Well, what we do is we call it encouragement dating. You get to know them as a friend. You can take her out on a date that you plan. I mean, this could be a whole nother lesson in and of itself. But our main guideline for encouragement dating is you go on a double date. You get another brother to take another sister out. And you four go together, right? Interested in that? Manny and Sandy are willing to help you. John and Jan are willing to help you. Yeah, double, triple group dates. No weasel dating. Okay? You want to guard... This is... Back here. Absolute purity. This is your sister. You do not want to be a selfish brother who's only thinking about his own pleasure. Who's only thinking about what he wants. And I know... First-hand experience. Had to learn the hard way. Hey, are you thinking about yourself or are you thinking about edifying her? Are you thinking about yourself or are you thinking about edifying the church? Because other people are going to see your relationship. This is big. Okay. Boom. I've been talking for 41 minutes. It's like magic. Whoa. It's crazy.
I just want to, can you go?
Yes.
These things, these are guidelines.
Yes.
Practices, they're not rules, right?
Yeah.
Because the Bible says rules do not help create righteousness.
No.
So there's going to be exceptions. To some of these, there may not be any exceptions. Like, I don't know. I mean, do you really... But if you're making an exception, make sure there's a reason for it, you know?
Yes.
For example, you know, taking a sister somewhere, you know, just you and that sister, I mean, it may be that you're literally the only person who can do it, and then, all right, fine, just do it. I mean,
yeah.
Come on, we don't need rules. We don't need rules.
Absolutely.
But... And so if this becomes a rule, then it actually becomes harmful.
Yes.
Right? Because rules do not create righteousness. That's Colossians chapter 2.
Yes.
But I would defend every one of these guidelines as a really good idea. So if you do one of these things, just make sure you have a reason.
Yeah.
And almost always your reason is not as good as you thought.
No, right? It's not.
I think
Manny?
I used to, like, that was one of the reasons why earlier on in my youth I didn't want to have anything to do with church.
Hmm.
I thought of it as a bunch of rules, you know, but even now that I've been in church for a long time, you know, if I'm barefooted and I'm walking and I hit my toe against the corner table, blessings aren't the first thing that come out of my mouth, right? If I'm walking and I turn around and look, and just a pretty young lady's walking, I wasn't looking for her. She's right in front of me.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't want us to be prudes. You can still go to a gym, but yet know how women dress in gyms.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's like, when I look at these things, I make it my goal, because I know that if they're not my goals, I'll tell myself, well, I failed anyway. I'm behind the eight ball now.
Yep.
Go all the way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, so he's calling me to repent. He's calling me to remember his words, right? And that's like when it says that the heart is deceitful above all things.
Yes.
Right? So it's like there's always a balance, you know, from how I see it. And it's like, do I still want to pursue God and godly things? I'm like, yes, I do. I've already made enough mistakes in my life to know that they were lifelong hurts.
Yeah.
You know, that didn't help me, didn't help my children, didn't help all these things. That God's word was right and I was wrong, but I still wanted to play in the freeway. So
I was still like, wanted to play the freeway.
The way I look at this is like, I'm okay, if I mess up, I can't help what I see the first time.
Yeah.
But I can help what I see the second time. So if a young lady bends over and her blouse falls forward, you know, I was like, I couldn't help the first one.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't expecting that to happen. But it is my sin if I look at it the second time, if I pursue it again. Then that's what's in my heart. If I'm blurting out curses, it says out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't have to say it. I know what I thought when somebody cut me off. I know what I thought when I feel disrespected. You know, I know what I think. It doesn't mean that I had enough control not to say it, but it's in my heart. And
yes.
I could, by my response, like I said, man, I got a long way to go. These things are in my heart. You know, and it's like I want to pursue them, but it's like that's the battle.
Mm.
And God, you know, it also talks about the armory of God. Your shield is the Bible, is the word. So it's like be prepared for a battle. Be prepared for the battle.
Faith is a shield.
You know, and part of it's remembering his words.
Absolutely.
And if I skip it, then you know it's like it's gonna be easy to justify anything.
Yeah.
It still is for me to justify it.
That's what we want to do. We want to justify it.
Yeah.
One thing I also wanted to add, I forgot to, this was in my script, but back to, boom, sexual purity. Yeah. Well, really, any of this, really. Right? Having a pure heart, pure speech, being sexually pure. As brothers, we need to be involved in each other's lives.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. We need to be confessing these things to somebody. You don't have to confess it to everybody. I'm sure John doesn't want to know what I was looking at, you know, last Tuesday at 12 a.m., right? No, he doesn't want to know. I mean, that's...
Maybe.
Right? Maybe he does. I mean, not like you desire to know. But I'm saying you need to have a buddy. At the very least, have a buddy to talk about these things. Some of it is embarrassing, right? But some of it is very personal, right? And if you're struggling with same-sex attraction, I just want to let you know, hey, we're still your brothers. We're not ashamed of you. We're not afraid of you. We're not disgusted by you. It's sin like any other sin. Because we are all sinners. We're in the same boat. Because it only takes one sin for you to be in jeopardy, really. And Christ died for you. All the same. So, yeah, get a buddy. Here we go. Closing scripture. Psalms 119:9. How can a young man stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. It's by the word that we need to live if we want to live pure life. So, big stuff, guys. I love you. I love you. Let's pray. Close this out. Boom. Lord God, we thank you for this amazing time to come together. To open up the scriptures, Lord, and to reflect on what it means to be pure, God. Your word is very clear. I think about what it says. It's like, no greedy, lustful, like sexually immoral person will have part in the kingdom of God. Anyone who lives like that. Wow, that is scary, Lord. So we don't want to live that way. We want to be pure. We want to be innocent like a child. We want to be unpolluted from the world. But it's so hard, God, because we're here in this world and it's so dirty and dark and dingy. So Lord, help us to walk with you. Help us to hear your word, to heed it, to understand it, to hold to it, Father. To obey it. Because by doing so, you will wash us and you will make us pure, Father. We pray just for each other, Lord. Please forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our impurity. Forgive us of our debauchery, of our lust, Father. For those of us who have committed sexual immorality of any kind, Lord. For those of us who harbor impure thoughts, maybe not even inherently sexual thoughts, but just thoughts of malice, of hatred, of ill will towards other people, help us to have pure intentions. That we would seek to help each other and help the lost, help those who are outside of the church or outside of you, Lord. I'm thankful for this opportunity to share from the scriptures, to teach, Lord. We love you, we praise you, in your son's name we pray, amen.
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 How do I stop this?
How about you? You push your stop. I'll
get it for you.
Okay.
No, that's not a single set, actually.
Order. But there's no stop button, just so you know.
There's a play and there's a pause button.
You actually push it towards record.